call. You're trying to call with Natalie calling from MMA Legal. Is this a convenient time to speak?
Yes, please.
Yeah, lovely. So for data protection, can you just confirm your date of birth and your address?
It's Nicole Bleeds, and it's 12 Milton Street, Edinburgh.
Lovely. And your date of birth?
19/186.
Lovely. That's brilliant. Thank you. So just need to make you aware that during the call, if there's any safeguarding, I would need to make a referral to the local authority. I would explain this to you, what I would think would be safeguarding and why. And also that calls are recorded for compliance reasons. Are you happy to continue?
Yeah, that's fine.
Lovely. Okay, so today it's just about gathering some more information about the impact of the primary care. Excuse me, sorry. Your application for Scottish Redress. What age did you go into care, Nicole?
14.
Age 14 years old. And what local authority did you live under at that time?
North Warwickshire.
Okay. And have you been known by any other names?
No.
Any nicknames or anything?
No.
Okay. And do you remember any of the names of the care settings that you stayed in? I've got down Cecil Street in Coatbridge.
Tons Avenue.
Yeah, and that's in Airdrie.
Mhm.
And I've got both the years of 1999.
Mhm.
Is there anywhere else that you stayed?
Just like respite.
Were they in foster care placements or were they different settings?
Different settings.
Can you remember any of the names?
It was Carlo
Carlo.
Carlo.
Law.
Mhm.
Carlo. In S.
Ayrshire.
Ayrshire. Anywhere else?
No.
No? And do you remember what school you attended?
None.
So from what age did you stop going to school?
About since I went into care.
So age, was it 14? Okay. And what GP says, GP surgery are you with?
Sorry, Wellwind practice in Edinburgh.
Wellwind.
Wellwind. Wellwind.
Medical practice.
Yeah.
Lovely. And do you have any professional support in you at the moment, such as social care, mental health, occupational therapy, or anything like that?
Mental health.
And is it the community mental health team, or is it under your GP surgery?
It's through the GP surgery. I have an appointment with them on the 28th of April.
And do you have any mental health diagnoses?
Depression and anxiety.
And have you ever done any self-harm?
Yes.
And what did that include?
Cutting myself when I was younger.
And whereabouts did you do that?
Tom's Avenue. Oh. Like where on my body or where?
Yeah, where on your body?
Predominantly my arms and legs.
And did you see GP for that or any?
No.
Has that never been disclosed to your GP?
I can't remember. But not from the staff in the care home. They didn't really care, to be honest.
Okay. And Did you receive any treatment for it?
No.
And was it superficial cuts or were they deep?
They were superficial. I didn't have much scarring or anything.
Mm-hmm. And what age did you do that from? Was it 14?
No, younger.
Can you remember how old you were?
Probably about 12. At the time when I was living with my grandmother and my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan had dementia, my uncle had Down syndrome. When I was there, kind of care since I was 12. And then when we got put into care at a care home, I went into a care home.
Mm-hmm. And when did it stop?
When I had my daughter at 16.
And have you ever had thoughts of ending life?
Yeah.
And what ages was that?
Overdosed when I was about 12. I've overdosed a few times when I was on Tom Chavner's, yeah.
Okay, so was it all medication overdoses?
Yeah.
So if you tell me the ages, we can write this down. So age 12?
14.
Yep.
15.
Yep.
So a couple of things in Germany. Seen those ages.
So if I say between age 12 to 15, mm-hmm. then several attempts, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there been anything after age 15?
I've just really suffered from anxiety and depression on and off since I was 14 till now. I've been trying to access mental health support unsuccessfully.
And have you been got that on your record though? Yeah.
Had depression? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. In terms of thoughts, like you want to end your life, did they completely stop at age 15 or have you had them come and go?
No, it still comes and goes. I mean, I went to my doctor a few months ago with that exact reason and they gave me some medication, some sleeping tablets and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. So it's good that you've accessed your GP. And that you're going to see your mental health practitioner, that's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever received any hospitalisation for your mental health?
Apart from when I overdosed and I was kept in hospital.
That was in physical health though. Did you go to any mental health after that? No.
Mm-hmm. I think I've been a psychologist.
Okay. Can you remember where that was?
It was at the Sales and Family Clinic in Coatbridge. It was a Dr. Christian Lieberman.
Oh, let me just write this down. Child Development Centre, yeah?
Sales and Family Clinic in Coatbridge. It's not there anymore, but...
But they have archive records, so we can access them.
Okay.
So I've got Child and Family Clinic in where was it?
Coatbridge. Yeah, it was in Alexander Hospital.
Can you remember the doctor's name?
Justin Lieberman.
Lieberman.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
I seen when I was hospitalised for having that overdose the first time. I seen a clinical psychologist and a clinical psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And that was a doctor, Gilbert and a Dr. Long.
Gilbert?
Gilbert, G-E-R-B-E-R.
And Dr. Long?
Yeah.
And where were they again, sorry?
Well, I don't know where they came from, but I seen them while I was in Monkland Hospital.
At Mount where, sorry?
Monkland.
Monklands?
Yeah.
Is that when physical health?
That's when I overdosed. When I was seen by a psychiatrist and a psychologist.
So do you remember who was the psychiatrist and who was the...
Dr. Gerber was the psychiatrist.
Yeah.
David Gerber, I think his name was. And the other one, I'm sure, was a psychologist.
Okay. Lovely. Did you ever receive any therapy or counselling?
No. I just went to the child and family clinic for a little while, but we didn't really do anything, we didn't speak about anything.
Okay. We'll gather those records anyway so we can see what is on there. Do you have any physical health?
Yeah, right now I have anxiety, depression, and I'm being looked at just now, my thyroid's out of whack, so I'm being referred to endocrinology.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might have to take my thyroid out.
Okay. And did you attend hospital ever in what we spoke about as a child?
As a child? So what would you mean?
Did you ever cut your head open or break a leg or anything?
Possibly, I don't really know, to be fair.
That's okay, that's no problem.
The only thing that I could possibly remember is being seen by the doctor when I was sexually assaulted at the age of 7.
Okay. And who took you to the doctor?
My mum.
And that's all on record and it's been reported and things?
Yeah, because I had to attend the shares and family clinic then to see a cycle and it states on the record because I've seen it that I only went to one appointment. My parents only took me to one appointment. There was several follow-up letters and I never sent my parents. Never attended the clinic any further, and what it states in here is that my mum basically didn't know how to cope.
Okay. And who was that by?
By the psychologist or whoever it was that seen us at that family clinic.
No, I meant the assault, sorry. Was it somebody that you knew or was it in...
Three of my neighbours.
Right. And the police have been involved in things?
Yeah.
Did they get prosecuted?
No.
I'm just making some notes, sorry. Okay. So it was more than one person, I think it was just one person.
It was three people.
Okay. So in terms of consent for your records, do you provide that to us so we can request and submit access requests so we get copies of all?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Yeah. And have you ever been arrested or have any convictions?
I don't have any convictions, but I have been arrested when I stayed on Toronto Avenue.
So what was that age? 14?
14, 15, yeah.
And what was that for?
One time I was arrested for absolutely nothing, and that's when I was sent to Kerlo. One of the staff had said that, I don't actually know what she said, but I get stripped out. They said I had a knife on me. I've never threatened anybody with a knife in my whole life. The knife in that children's unit were actually locked away, so I don't know how I would have gained access to anything. I was stripped out and taken to Kerlo for 3 days.
Okay. And was it a man or a female that did that?
There's a woman called Sal Dockery.
That did the strip search?
No, it was a female also that did the strip search. It was a female member of staff that phoned the police and said that I threatened her, and I never threatened her.
Okay. Okay, so I've got that incident down. Was there any others?
No, majority of it was just sort of like running away and stuff.
So was it consistent between sort of the ages of 14 and 15?
Mm-hmm.
And the police bang back?
Yeah. Or they put you in a cell and leave you there for a few hours and then take you back.
That sounds not very nice.
No.
I'm sorry you've gone through all of that.
No, it's fine.
It's not okay though, you know. Do you smoke at all?
Yeah.
And what age did you start smoking?
When I went on the cure.
Is that 14?
Yeah.
And you're still smoking, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And do you do any drugs, or did you do any drugs?
No.
And what about alcohol?
Very, very rarely. I don't drink at all now. I don't particularly like the feeling of alcohol. But, I mean, when we were young, we used to get taken to like places on holiday. And one particular member of staff, he used to buy his alcohol that we could take with us, like bottles of vodka and stuff.
Diet?
That's not. He used to like, take bottles of vodka on holiday with us.
Was that when you were underage?
Yeah.
So the carers used to let you?
Yeah.
And what age was that?
14, 15. I was taken by a member of staff in the first tattoo when I was 15.
A staff member took you?
Yeah, to a tattoo shop in Blackpool.
Age 15?
Yeah.
What did you get?
A signing symbol on my back, it's covered up now, but, yeah, 15.
Age 15 years old. In Blackpool, was it?
Yep. It was me and another girl, and the two, she got a son. on the bottom of the thing, and I got a Chinese symbol.
Do you know what Chinese symbol was meant to have said?
Oh, God, that's going back. I'm 40 now, God.
I'm trying to make you think, aren't I?
No, it's just a bit. It's covered up with my tattoo on my back now, but it's right at the bottom of my spine. I can't remember what it was meant to say. It probably doesn't even say what they told me that it said. It
that's what I'm thinking. It might, like, I don't know if you've watched Big Bang, but they talk about the symbol and it's like, it says chicken soup or something.
That's probably what it says.
But you had this covered up.
Yeah.
And what age did you get it covered up?
Oh, when I was probably 19 or 20.
So you regret the initial tattoo?
Yeah. Yeah. I was 15 with a animal that tattooed.
My child wanted to get a shark tattoo once he was younger. I'm so glad that, you know, there was a age restriction.
Yeah, my two kids, like, my daughter, she just got a massive back piece done.
Yeah.
But she's, like, 22.
It's different at that age, isn't it?
He's like 17, coming up with 17. He's like, I want a tattoo. No, because you'll regret it. Your first tattoo, you'll regret it. Because it's really
You've got to wait till you're sort of like ready, really, haven't you?
Definitely.
Okay, so what age did you leave care?
I left care the day that I gave birth to my daughter. The manager came in to visit me in hospital and told me that I was not allowed to come to the unit with a baby.
Wow. And how old are you then?
16.
I'm going to write this down. Is it care manager, yeah?
Yeah, Margaret Hagen.
Margaret. Hagen. Mm-hmm. Was that at Torrance Avenue?
Yeah. It's funny because about 2 years after had my daughter, one of the night shift workers called me, randomly, said, I'm doing my SCQ. She said, can I use that in my SCQ? She said, because we were all horrified about what happened. Nobody said anything.
So what happened after, because obviously you're in hospital, you've just given birth.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to you then?
I was kept in for 5 days and then I was returned to my dad's house. And on the night that I took my daughter home, my dad been at a wedding.
Yeah.
He was absolutely so drunk, like I've never seen him this drunk in my whole life, to even to this day. But he nearly came on top of my crib.
Wow.
My daughter in it, he was that drunk. He ordered himself food and he was trying to, he said, came to the door and I was like, you need to pay for that. And he was trying to give me like a packet of chewing gum to pay for the food.
Did they take it?
No, eventually he paid it, but he was so drunk, and I had to stay there for weeks because they'd actually had a house, but my house wasn't, my daughter came a bit early, and almost 12 days, but my house wasn't ready for me to live in.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, well, you can't come back here, I don't know where you're going to go, your social worker's on holiday. And then I went back up to collect my belongings. Then somebody in bed.
Your allocated social worker was on holiday and they said that they couldn't support you. There was no duty work or nothing.
No.
That is terrible, isn't it?
No, so I was homeless at 16 with my daughter.
Did you get your own house after that?
I did, yeah.
So got our own house. How many weeks or months were you at your dad's?
I was only there for about, maybe a couple of weeks.
So if I took 3 weeks?
I did have a house. Before my daughter arrived, I did have a house, but my house was not ready to be lived in.
Yeah, sometimes they've got to do things, haven't they?
Yeah, so I couldn't move in, so I had to go and stay with my dad. Like I said, he was absolutely steam drunk the first night he was out of hospital. And
you fell over and nearly landed on your baby.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I've got all of that down. So once you got to your house, obviously social workers on annual leave, they've come back from annual leave. Did they ever offer you further support or anything after that?
Not particularly. I had a food care worker and a couple of times I was really, I mean, I was 16, just coming up in 17 with a baby, and I wasn't coping, and a couple of times I said, I can't do this, but I didn't really care.
So if I say requested support, due to being young mum, but was ignored?
Yep. And then when my daughter got to the age of 12, they were concerned that she had autism, and the school had told me that the only way I could get a referral was through the social work department. So I contacted the social work department and they refused to help me because I was a care leaver. They told me that because I was a care leaver, my daughter wasn't autistic, she was just being violent because of me. So they took my daughter about 150 miles away to my mum's house. And less of it, I had to take my mum to court to get my daughter back.
Did you win?
I did.
Well done.
But it was because they said, oh, it was nothing to do with them, it was a private family agreement, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Have you just make sure you document everything?
So when my daughter came back to my house, I asked them again for support, and I was told no. So my daughter ended up back at my mum.
So where is she now?
My daughter's 23 and she lives in her own house with her own career and her own baby.
Okay, so she's older now, isn't she?
Yeah, she's just qualified as a dental nurse.
Oh, she's done very well. Well done. Let me just, I'm just trying to write this down. So I put school reported to local authority. School reported Nicole, you should say. For local authority, she's having child concerns of being diagnosed, or concerns of having diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to get a CAMHS appointment. My aunt contacted them and said that she would pay for my daughter to have a private assessment.
Yeah.
And the social work department cancelled that appointment. And I was also had to go to a meeting with the senior social worker and the social worker who was involved with my daughter. And I took a staff member from Thorns Avenue with me. And the senior social worker took her outside and said, how long have you known her? And she's looked at a long time, over 15 years. And she's like, well, we're concerned about her mental health. And the staff member said, well, she probably don't know her very well. She says, so stop being rude and go back in and have the meeting with her.
Did your daughter ever get a diagnosis?
Partially. When she was 15, they said that she was showing signs of having autism, but because she was coming up in 16, it would have to be her choice, and she said no. Didn't want a diagnosis.
Yeah. Let me just write it down.
But I was phoning them practically daily and they just wouldn't come on the phone with me. I took my aunt to a meeting and they just, excuse my language, they just took a piss out of me. So that's when I went back and I spoke to Norma and I said to her, and she's like, I'll text my boss, she says, I'll come to the next meeting with you. And that's what she did. And that's when they took her outside and they were like, it's her mental health. And she's like, no, it's not. My daughter was so violent. The police were having to come and take my daughter out, physically take her out of my house.
Was she violent towards you?
She was very violent towards me.
Okay. Is there any other autism or anything in your family that you know of?
Not that I know, not that, well, not been a diagnosis.
It might be worthwhile going to your GP and asking for a screening tool to be completed, because a lot of the time it's a genetic link.
Yep.
And if this is something that's been missed, we can use that in your claim as well. Are you able to go to your GP and just request a screening tool and see what comes from that?
Yeah.
Okay, lovely. So if you've got a mental health practitioner at your surgery, the mental health practitioner can do it for you, so you don't necessarily have to go to the GP.
Well, I've got an appointment with her on the 28th of this month.
Brilliant. Go to them and ask for an autism screening tool.
Mm-hmm.
So make a note of that.
I'll do that.
Because if that's something that's missed, obviously that's put you at a detriment compared to your peers.
Mm-hmm.
Lifelong. You see what I mean? Because autism mm-hmm. doesn't change. Once you've got it, you've got it. You're born with it.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that should have been picked up if you are, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So if that comes back as a positive, and they refer you on for further assessment, if you mm-hmm. ring me and just let me know, I can then add that to your file.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. So going forward with ourselves, would you prefer a male or female advisor?
Either or, it's fine.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll allocate you to myself. So I'll be your main point of contact for this whole claim. So if you've got any questions, save this number. You can ring me at any point.
What's your name, sorry?
It's Natalie.
Natalie, are you okay?
Very similar names, aren't we? And what we'll do is we'll request a copy of your care records. Would you like to see a copy of that?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So the process is going to take about 10 months.
Okay.
But if you get any questions in the meantime, just give me a call. What we're going to do is we're going to now gather the evidence and the information towards your claim. For like subject access requests and things. So it may take a little while to do that.
Can I just tell you, they'll see the staff member who used to give us alcohol.
Yeah.
He's recently, in the last couple of years, been at court for an inappropriate relationship with a young girl that he's looking after.
Was he ever inappropriate with you?
Well, apart from the giving of alcohol.
Did they do anything else?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
No.
Sometimes our brains blank out things when we've come back to trauma.
Yeah.
But if anything does come back to you, you can just give me a call and let me know later.
Mhm.
Yeah. Do you remember the man's name?
Yeah, it was Michael McPeak.
Let me put it on here. Where did I put it? I think I put it under alcohol, didn't I? It's 1450. Sakara was called Michael who?
McPake. M-C-P-A-K-E.
McPake.
Yeah.
Who has recently been charged?
It went to court now that it was found not proven.
So he was charged with, but not convicted, yeah?
I think so, yeah.
Of inappropriate
relationship with a girl in the care setting that he worked in. A mobile contract and stuff out in his name for her.
What local authority was it under?
North Lanarkshire. He went on to become a unit manager.
And you're pretty sure that you were safe?
No, I don't think so. I was completely under the influence of alcohol.
Do you mind if I write that down?
Yeah.
Have you ever spoke to anyone about this?
No.
Were you always drunk when he bought you the alcohol?
No, he used to despise it, and we go to maybe Alton Towers.
Yeah.
Staying in a cottage or a hotel or something. Before the rest, he would allow me and another girl who lived there, Christy, to buy alcohol and take it with us. And then, we would sit up at night and play cards and drink alcohol.
None of the others had it?
No, because they were all younger.
Did he come and join you?
A few of the staff members, because there was maybe three staff members there. Yeah, they would join in, we would be sitting drinking, playing cards at night time.
Can you remember all their names, or is it just that one?
One was called Maxine Campbell, another one was called Jacqueline something. I can't remember her second name. And also there was another man that worked in here, and his sister was my mum's next-door neighbour, and he knew my dad, that they lived next door to each other when they were young, and he took my file out of the home and took it to his sisters and let his sister read it.
Let me take that down. So care worker, he knew Nicole's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And was a neighbour.
And his sister was my mum's next door neighbour, and he took my whole care file. And let his sister and his family read it.
Is it your mum's sister?
No, the staff member's sister.
So who? Staff member's sister?
Was my mum's next door neighbour.
Okay. Let me just and I've just got to make sure I've got the right relationship on there.
Patrick Bannon was a staff member. He gave my file to a sister called Nora Bannon, who was my mum's next door neighbour.
Let me just write this down, bear me for a second, so it's just taking a little while. So, Patrick Bannon.
Yeah.
Was the carer who took the file and he gave it to, what's the sister's name?
Nora Bannon.
Who then gave it to your mum?
No, she told my mum about it, so I've not told it to my mum. So she knew all my private information before my brother thought that it would be a good idea to remove my file and use it for gossip.
And what kind of gossip happened?
Well, they knew about myself. They knew everything about me because everything that was in that file, they got to see. I wasn't allowed to see that file when I was there. But he moved it out of there and let his family read it because they knew my family.
And did anything negatively happen to you? Were they chastising you or doing anything? Did they?
No, they were just gossiping about me.
Okay. I'm just making sure, just double checking what I've written. Okay. I'm sorry you went through that. It's horrific, isn't it? Okay. So, I've explained about the panel, haven't I?
No.
Okay, so when we've got the information, we've got it all back, it all gets put, we go through your information together, and then we put it forward to the Scottish Read West panel. Okay? That would then be a panel hearing, but it's a closed door panel. You don't have to attend that, but we will let you know what date that will be. So as part of our compliance, you might have already been told this information, but because obviously we double check everything, it's recorded, we just go through the options that you do have. So you're entitled to claim independently for Scottish redress and research your own evidence. You're also able to have a solicitor from England or Scotland who has accepted the fee of £2,000 to act on your behalf to Scottish redress. They receive that fee whether you win or lose. And then there's ourselves who can act for you. But we've opted out of the fee from Scottish Redress, which makes us completely independent, and that's in for you. Our fee is 20%, and that's capped at 20%. It won't be any more. And that's only if you win. So if you lose, we don't charge you anything. You're entitled to a 14-day cooling-off period. Are you happy to wait the 14 days, or would you like to proceed immediately?
Let's proceed.
Okay. Do you have any questions for me?
No.
Okay. So that's everything from me for today. So thank you very much for your time. If you do have any questions, obviously do just give me a call, save this number, and it comes directly through to me. And then you should receive some information through in the post in a couple of weeks' time.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. You take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.